Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us now on this day before Christmas as we continue talking about music, sweet, sweet music. Welcome to all of the people listening in, and I hope that you are listening to a lot of Christmas music, because there's a lot of Christmas music in the air right now all over the world in all kinds of different languages. I love the music of Christmas season, and this is your teacher, Doris, and also we have other teachers and panelists with us today. We have our editor from Studio Classroom, Linda. Linda, do you like Christmas music?
I love Christmas music. I start playing it the day after Thanksgiving and play it through New Year's.
I know Bill likes music. And Bill, when, you know, sweet, sweet music, I mean, there's all kinds of music. There's rock and roll and hard rock and everything. But do you like a little sweet music now and then, Bill?
Well, you know what I really like about groups like this is that they are singing a cappella without the musical accompaniment. And what you find out when groups sing like this, you find out who are the good singers. So much of today's music, especially popular music and rock and roll, but the pop music, it's just a lot of loud noise with movement, and a lot of the singers, I don't know how good they are. When there is none of that noise, you really find out who's got the good voice.
Well, that's true. That'd be hard on some people, huh? Because they have to have a good voice to sing.
Yeah.
And when you sing in a group, you have to blend with other people. You don't make your voice sound different. You try to make it sound the same and blend together. That's a good musical term.
Yeah, that's right. I definitely remember that being a main point that all my choir's director would tell me in high school and college. You want to sound like you're one big group with really one voice among you.
Right. Nathaniel, that's what's good about, you know, choirs. And we usually start in grade school and high school in America. And I think they do them a lot of places in the world. There's a Vienna Children's Choir, and there's a lot of children's choirs, too, all over the world.
Yeah, children's choirs are a great way for young kids to know or learn how to harmonize, learn how to use their voice. So that would be a great activity for parents to consider for their children.
But now we are talking about Christmas and music. This is not a group that just does Christmas music, but I'm sure that they have a repertoire of Christmas music.
Well, I am too, because yesterday we saw that this group actually takes two appointments or has two engagements a month. And during December, if they're going to retirement homes or senior citizens' homes, you know that they're going to be singing Christmas music.
Well, in fact, Doris, if our listeners want to, they can go to their website, seattleshores.com, and they do have a CD, and it's got about 15 songs on it, and I would say maybe 10 of them, the majority of them, are Christmas songs, so it's the perfect time of year for that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so today we're going to begin on page 35, and we're going to find out more about some of the people in this group, why they're singing there. And we're also going to learn some good musical terms. So let's take the first paragraph of today's lesson.
Hicks was quickly hooked by the energy and camaraderie, and she was a natural for the group, having sung in church and school choirs and studied music in college. As the only remaining original member of the group, Hicks is the longest active member of a Sweet Adeline's chorus in the Northwest. She'd rather not discuss her current age, but she's willing to say she was 27 when she joined the group in 1951. And you can do the math if you feel the need. The chorus's youngest member is Ashley Fowler, 13, whose grandmother sang with the group until a few years ago. She dreams of winning a crown as a Queen of Harmony, the distinction given to winners of Sweet Adeline's quartet championships. I've always been singing, humming, tapping my foot to the music.
Yeah.
So, Linda, what do you think about this lady? Now, she started in when she just got married. And why do you think her husband encouraged her to do that?
Well, if we look at the first paragraph, we see that she already had been singing in church choirs and in school choirs. So, and she also studied music in college. So her husband actually really knew what her interests were. And so he encouraged her to join. And she was a natural. That's a very good phrase. She was a natural for the group, meaning because of her background. Obviously, she has talent. So she was quickly hooked. That's a great phrase. Hooked on something means you enjoy doing something so much that you can't stop doing it.
Well, what really hooked her on that?
Well, the choir had a lot of energy and camaraderie. So just that high tempo, that upbeat feeling of the choir, that energy, as well as the kind of the friendship working together as one big group, that's camaraderie as well. Both of those things attracted her.
Now, that's a good word to know. I don't think you're going to be saying it in your everyday conversation, but it's nice to know what it means, right?
Yeah, it is helpful. It's good to know that and know how to work with people, work with your colleagues as a team, not just as an individual. And you certainly would learn that in church or school choirs.
And so when somebody's good at something, we often say this, oh, they're a natural. In other words, it comes easy for them. They're a natural.
Right. And they have talent in that area. So her husband was really encouraging her to use that and to give her some outlet probably to what she was involved with at that time. I don't think that so many women worked outside of the home in the early 50s. So it's a very good outlet for her.
And she's the only remaining original member of the group. So she's very important to them.
Hmm. Well, that's really fascinating because of as long as this group has been around, and we see that it was founded in 1950, we learned yesterday, and, you know, a lot of the members have moved on, but she is still there. And so we see that she's the longest active member of Sweet Adeline's Chorus in the Northwest, not just the Seattle Shores group, but all of the groups, the singing groups in the Northwest.
But, you know, I know how she feels here because, you know, I'm getting up to that age, too. And it says she'd rather not discuss her current age. You know, if you say, oh, are you that old? You know, oh, my goodness, you know. So we don't want to discuss our current age sometimes. But, you know, women sometimes feel that way when they're 30 or 40 or 50. You don't have to wait to get to your 80s. Don't you kind of feel that? Would you like to discuss your age all the time, Linda?
No, I actually,
oh, so
I don't mind being my
age. How old are you?
I don't mind being my age. Yeah. I just hate having to say it.
But, Bill, you don't like to discuss your age either, do you? And you're a man.
How old are you, Bill? I'm 52 years old.
Okay, men don't mind.
Yeah.
All right.
I have no problem discussing my age.
What about Nathaniel? Do you like to discuss your age?
I don't have a problem with it yet.
Not yet.
Well, that's because you're
right.
So
when you're youthful.
Young and handsome and yeah, youthful right. and energetic.
Oh,
but anyway, it's kind of a funny way of saying it. But, you know, because the reason is you get such a reaction all the time. Oh, really? Are you really that old or something? You know, you don't get a reaction when you're in your 20s.
Well, you know, the funny thing about this is that she doesn't want to talk about it. However, she is kind of willing to talk about it because she does then give the necessary information to help us figure it out.
Okay. And what information did she give us, Bill?
Well, she says she was 27 when she joined the group in 1951.
So how old would she be now? How was your math?
Well, I believe if we do the math, she'd be 89 or 90 years old, depending when her birthday was. So I felt the need to do the math, and
yes,
I did
you
it.
Did the math. That's good. Okay.
That's kind of a funny saying that we actually have that we use, do the math. So I underline do the math, and often we will say that to people. That
figure
means
it out.
You figure it out
figure
on
it
your
out.
Own.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't need me to tell you what's going on.
Doesn't even mean math sometimes. It just means, hey, when somebody's when your boss says to you, are you late again, do the math. You might be out of here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Do the math.
That's right.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good phrase to know, isn't it? Right. But, you know, the chorus youngest member, his name is Ashley Fowler. She's only 13. Now, why is she singing with the group, do you think?
Well, it says here that her grandmother sang with the group until a few years ago. So I have a feeling that she has a lot of good memories and she, you know, has listened to stories. Probably she went to some of the concerts or
maybe the grandmother took her to rehearsals.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yes. I think her grandmother had a lot of influence on her here. Mm-hmm. And now her grandmother,
nice.
Her grandmother doesn't sing with the group anymore, but her granddaughter does, which is, I think, is very, very fun.
I think it's nice, you know, that the kids carry on that. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's good for her, too. I mean, she's with all these ladies that have probably been singing for quite a few years. She can learn a lot from them while she's there.
Well, it's interesting that she has this dream of or this idea that she might get this award. And what is this award?
Well, the award is Queen of Harmony. So, and I believe that is something that is given out by the Sweet Adeline's organization. Not believe, it is. We see there in the second part of that sentence.
Right. It's a distinction. It makes them different from the regular people because they are winners of the Sweet Adeline's Quartet Championships. And she said she's always been singing, humming, tapping her foot to the music. So she grew up with music and she loves it. I think that's good. And she's having fun with it, don't you think?
Yeah, she is. And I want to mention one thing here. We see Sweet Adeline's Quartet Championships. They actually have a couple of different categories, the Sweet Adeline's group, the international organization. One is, of course, for quartets, and that's the four singers that are coming together. But then they also have a choral competition, and they can have groups that can be up to like 100 people up there on stage singing. It's amazing how well they all harmonize.
This group that we're talking about in Seattle has about 18 members, you said, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they can
16.
Have any amount of people, but they're singing a cappella.
Right.
And without accompaniment.
I mentioned the size of a group up to 100. It's not necessarily the size, because a group that has 16 can sound just as good as 100. In fact, the 16 might sound clearer than the 100.
That's true.
But what fun, you know? I mean, I think it's so interesting that they have these kind of competitions even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just like a group over here never having contact with any other singing groups.
She wins a crown as Queen of Harmony. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? And she's 13, and I think she knows that her grandmother would be proud of her.
Well, I think Linda makes a good point, too, about the competition, because it makes you better. When you go and you compete and you participate, whether it's a singing contest, or I know many of our listeners have participated in speech contests, that kind of stuff makes you better because you see what other people are doing and you learn things. You say, oh, wow, look at what they're doing.
That's right. It's a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, some of the words that we've been talking about now are very good musical terms. There's quite a few of them here. But one word that's very important in music, but not only in music, in all of our life, is the word harmony. And harmony just means singing together or working together, and this would be musical harmony. So let's read about the musical harmony that this group has.
Musical harmony. She points out that although she's the youngest member, she's not the newest, and she enjoys making new members feel at home. Ashley is a lead in the chorus, meaning she's one of the voices typically singing the melody. Other parts of the vocal array are the tenors, hitting the high notes, the bass voices, anchoring the low notes, and baritones, singing notes that complete the chords, usually below the lead. A full, rich harmony depends on each section hitting its notes clearly and precisely, a fact that singers say provides both the challenge and satisfaction of barbershop singing. As much as the chorus honors its history, members say keeping the tradition alive will depend on adding new faces and new energy. Newcomers don't need a background in music, said Linnea Crowley, assistant director of the Seattle Shores Chorus. We'd just as soon that they just want to experience the joy of singing, she said, and we'll take it from there.
So Ashley herself is only 13, but she points out a certain thing here. She mentions something.
She's the youngest member, but she's not the newest. She's already has a little bit of history with this group, and she enjoys making new members feel at home there, too.
Can you imagine a 13-year-old girl saying to somebody, you know, third year, 40, well, welcome to our group. It's kind of cute, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
Tremendous lesson, tremendous experience, and I would think it helps build her confidence as far as dealing with people.
And she is a good singer because it says Ashley is a lead in the chorus, and she's one of the voices that often takes the melody and maybe solos and so forth. So she evidently is a very good singer.
Yeah, when I read that, I thought, well, that's so interesting that a 13-year-old is taking a lead. It makes me wonder how her voice blends in with everybody else's voices, you know? I mean, that takes a lot of work for that age range, the sound of voices from that age range to blend in together.
Yeah, well, her voice might be more mature than an ordinary 13-year-old.
Yeah. In fact, the video that is on YouTube of Seattle Shores, which our listeners can do, go to YouTube and just enter Seattle Shores Chorus, Ashley is actually interviewed briefly, and they show her singing. She's incredibly mature for a 13-year-old and is very confident. I think this is a great example of what we talked about yesterday, out of the box, to let people think of outside the box. Normally we think of 13-year-olds, well, they have to participate in activities that are for 13-year-olds. And this is a whole different way of thinking that, no, let's expose our children to different ages of people and learn different things.
It also showed me, you know, the end of the last section where it says, where she says, I've always been singing, humming, tapping my foot to music, that music is very important in the development of children, you know, and I would encourage parents to play all kinds of music, probably not heavy metal or rap, but, you know, all kinds of music for their children because, you know, it helps in their development and also their music appreciation, even if they don't become, you know, great singers
right. Well,
in the world.
You're supposed to start out even when the babies are not
right.
born yet.
Right.
Playing her. But when little kids grow up with a lot of music around, they usually have more of a love for it. And it's a very good thing to keep them doing positive things and not just running around, getting into smoking and drinking and things like that. They have to go to rehearsals. They have to be on time. They have standards. And it's really good for kids growing up. I know we always had to go to some kind of a rehearsal for a band or orchestra, and those kind of things are very good for you. It's a good discipline.
Yes, and it's what's great about it too, Doris, is that by participating in rehearsals in bands and groups like that, you're not isolating. You are learning how to work with other people, and you're not just I know a lot of children are, you know, they have to practice their piano or violin by themselves for hours and hours and hours. And actually, for instance, Ashley is a whole different situation. She actually is participating in a group. And that also helps develop social skills.
Right. So she's one that sings the melody. But what about the rest of the people in the group here? Goes on to talk about them.
Yeah, it says other parts of the vocal array, kind of the ranging group is what an array is, are the tenors who hit the high notes and the bass voices who anchor the low notes. Now, tenors and basses usually refer to men.
Right.
But when you have a choir all of all women, you can still use those terms for the lower voices.
I noticed you see the picture of a men's barbershop quartet.
Right.
And we often think of men's barbershops quartets. They're very good, too. And then, of course, they have the high tenors and the baritones and the basses, don't they?
Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised to even see that in here for this female group,
right.
Baritone. You normally don't think of that.
No, you usually call them mezzo, and then you call them altos. And, but they're using the same terms for that part that they would be singing. But if you want to get a full, rich harmony, then you all have to get your notes clear and precise, which means you have to sing on key. You have to have good pitch.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just a little bit off, that chord doesn't sound good at all. So if you don't have a good ear for listening, then you won't be much help to a singing group like that.
Well, in fact, I believe, Doris, if somebody is off, if they are not on hitting the notes right, they actually can throw off the other singers.
Oh, it can. Yeah.
Right? It distracts the other singers.
So you have to be quite precise.
Yes.
Especially if you're singing a cappella.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So it, you know, provides a challenge, but also a satisfaction because when everybody's singing in tune and really blending with the others, it's just a very beautiful sound, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really clear, and it's amazing sometimes how crisp and clear these groups can be.
Well, Mal, it would be a good time for us to hear just a little bit more of this type of singing.
In the apartment above me, oh, there is the funniest fellow. She has a face that just a mother could love, and still I know he always worries. Some guy will steal his prize away. He's always asking, is there somebody else? Yeah, I guess it's just to hear her say. No, no, Norman, nobody but you, dear. You know, Norman, yours truly is true, dear. When you accuse me of flirting, baby, I wouldn't, I shouldn't, I love you so. Oh, oh, I have chances too many to mention.
Now, as we see here in this next sentence, Doris, we're learning about how important it is to have history and yet also maintain change.
Yeah, we see the sentence here says, as much as the chorus honors its history, respects its history, members say keeping the tradition alive will depend on adding new faces and new energy. That's the change that Bill is talking about, having new members, new people, and also maybe new kinds of music. That's the new energy that's behind the group.
Don't you think that's true of every kind of group or every school, every company? If they don't keep up with things and have some changes, things don't seem to last very long.
That's right, because if you get, usually if you don't change, you know, that means that you're stuck doing the same thing in the same way. And, you know, that only goes on for so long. So we need to look at what's new, how they can expand what they're doing.
It's good to keep the old and the new and have them blend together, actually. And if you're a newcomer and they're encouraging people to join them, well, they might say, well, do I need a background in music? Now, background means you've probably studied it in school or in college. And usually they do ask for a background in music if you're going to join a musical group. But do you need one to join this group, Bill?
Now, Linnea Crawley, the assistant director of the group, says that you don't need a background in music. I think what they're looking for is just maybe some basic raw talent, some vocal quality, and then they figure, well, hey, we can work with you. So we don't expect you to be have a master's degree in music.
Well, you might have sung in some group. Maybe you sing in a church choir or something. You still probably are involved in music, but you may not have actually studied it. And there's quite a few people that are very good naturally in music, but they don't have what we call a musical background.
That's right. So I think it's very interesting here that it's a combination. They want you to experience the joy of singing. And to this group, that's much more important than, you know, the history of studying music and having a background in music.
Yeah, the director is pretty encouraging, isn't she?
She's very encouraging.
You know, you don't really have to have that kind of background. But if you love singing and you want to do it, then we will help you. We'll take it from there and go on into making you a good singer with the groups. So when we say we'll take it from there, we'll take what you have, and then we'll do something with it. That's a very good phrase.
Yeah, that's something we often will say. Take it from here or take it from there means that, okay, you can now carry on from
this point on. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That means we'll develop those ideas. So here they'll develop your singing voice.
So that's encouraging, and it's nice to see a picture of that lady up there that's singing that we talked about the first day. It's almost 90 years old, if she's not 90 years old, and she is the only original member of the group.
Yeah, and now, Doris, we do have a sidebar there on page 35, down there in the bottom right corner, Hooked on a Melody. We're going to have Nathaniel read it.
All right, it says, another chorus member with more than a half century of experience is Lois Anderson of Washington, who is 90. In 1961, she was a member of a second local Sweet Adelines group, the North Shore Chorus, based in Lake City, Washington. At the time I joined, I had four small children and was working as an accountant, Anderson said. This was kind of a relief. It perked me up. In 1980, the two groups merged, becoming the Seattle Shores Chorus.
Okay,
so we can see what music does for us, you know.
It does.
Like, I think, like for Opal Hicks, it also gave this other person an outlet, you know. It helped perk up her life and give, you know, something that she loved to do, an opportunity for her to use that.
So we're going to conclude the part about this group, and it's, of course, the day before Christmas, and some people might come around and sing Christmas carols. They'd like to go Christmas caroling Christmas Eve. You might hear some good music tonight.
Right, and I think most of the churches around town are having Christmas Eve services, and if you want to hear some good Christmas music, it's a good place to go to find out the real meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, that's a great point, Linda, because it's an ideal time for everybody. If you want to, yeah, go to a church service, and you can have plenty of opportunity to join everybody there singing. Doesn't matter if you're a great singer or not, they will welcome your voice. So this is a good chance to get out
they
and sing.
They might even ask you to sing in the choir, Bill. Who knows? But
well,
anyway, tomorrow is Christmas Day, so we're going to wait till tomorrow to say Merry Christmas, but it is Christmas Eve. So enjoy Christmas Eve and find the true meaning of Christmas. So we'll see you tomorrow on Christmas Day. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.